Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
On RN Drive, time now to retire to the drawing room.
Sorry, I just got into the music a little bit too much there. Came on a bit late. How do you feel about reality TV? You into it? You excited? I hope you are, because we're going to talk about that the rest of the show. Except, would you like it more? If you're not a reality TV fan, I'm kind of with you, to be honest. But would you like it more if instead of looking for, I don't know, the next pop idol or someone who wins some obscure, I don't know, contest of survival, it's a search for the world's next super terrorist? Would that excite you a bit more? Or are you just outraged and is the phone, they're all going to go into meltdown now with the complaints? Is that what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to ask Dee McLaughlin this question because she's the writer and director of the film 10 Terrorists, which premieres at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival later on this month. And that's exactly what it is. It's like a film that's a series of reality TV shows looking for the world's super terror, like the next big terrorist. I don't know if you can get away with that sort of thing. Someone who gets away with plenty of stuff that he shouldn't get away with is the other person joining me in the drawing room tonight. His name is Nazim Hussain. He's a comedian. He's one half of a comedy duo called Fear of a Brown Planet, you may have heard of. And he's also the very foreign correspondent, plays that on Balls of Steel, which is on the Comedy Channel. Dee, Nazim, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Dee, I've got to say, why did you do this? I mean, what made you? Take me to the moment where you go, I know what I'll do. I'll do a reality TV show about terrorism and I'll extend it over 90 minutes and make it a feature film.
It started off as a film on Terry and Azim.
Yes.
And then Harold and Kumar came out. And so we thought we'd better do something different. And so it was just one night. It kind of emerged. And then the next day we said, okay, we've got to do this. You know, this is enough to at least get on a radio show.
This is my ticket to get on Waleed's show.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, yeah.
So hang on. What I'm getting from that is you gave it all of about one day's thought.
It was probably about 6 hours thought.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was being generous.
Yeah. And then the wheels got rolling before the script was done. And then I spent a night sort of thrashing out a structure. And then we started, our little company greenlit the project. And then we just started just steamrolling the project forward. And 4 months later, we were shooting.
At any stage, did it occur to you, this might not be a great idea, that maybe you were doing something that people would find profoundly offensive?
I think it started really sinking in when we were shooting and we were, you know, there would be the odd comment of, there were two comments we got on a blog. One was actually at a test market at a, we did a test screening and I was sitting up front and after about 20 minutes, this woman stormed out, filled in a questionnaire and said, this movie should never have been made, and gave it a one and left. Yeah, wow. She was so offended.
Was that an artistic comment or was it just a content comment?
No, content comment.
Right. And the very concept she had.
But then we got another, what was quite encouraging, we got another blog that said, this stuff is not what Australian cinema is all about. This is terrible, and I can't wait to see it.
Because it's actually entertaining.
Yeah. So that was encouraging. Nice. So that sort of kept us going.
So Nazim,
but it's not actually you might have described it like it's a real reality. It's not a reality TV show. It's based on a reality.
Yeah, and the references
it's like a mockumentary.
Yeah, so yeah. It's not like you literally went out there and found.
No. I know that. Hang on. I think that was. Do you think I need to clarify that?
I don't know. People out there are thinking that she actually did find. Want to be terrorists?
Well, she didn't deny it.
I'm running to your defence.
The reference points are very clear. I mean, it starts with your sort of X Factor / Idol type thing, and then it moves into Survivor, which is very, like, you're not subtle at all about the shows that you're referencing. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and
MasterChef stuff.
Was there MasterChef?
It's MasterChef.
Oh, yeah.
And MasterChef.
Amazing Race.
All this sort of thing.
And the funniest thing is I'd called my producer, Max Brunet. After Mark Burnett, that was at the, you know, he's his apprentice and survivor and everything. And I went to the finance conference in LA and I sat next to this woman and she said, oh, yeah, I work for this big TV company and, you know, my partner's big in TV. So I said, oh, who's your partner? Mark Burnett. And I went, oh, this is great. And I handed her my car, you know, the flyer. And then I went, what have I done? You know, I've given her the flyer that's trashing. So we actually changed his name.
So it got a bit awkward.
It got awkward.
Hey, let's hear some of it. I'm going to go with the first bit of audio. We've got a couple of options here. This is a little bit from 10 Terrorists. Give you a little idea of the kind of thing you can expect.
Terrorism. It's not a safe career move, you know? And this is exactly what we're talking about for these people. Career moves. Couple dead, couple make it. It's the balance, you know?
that's like your EP. Your TV executive talking there.
Yeah, that's right.
You capture the brutal cynicism of an EP very well.
Yeah.
We've met
enough of them.
I've had to do it. Even the judges for the Australian Idol kind of, or the X Factor, it literally was like watching Australian Idol, the way the judges critique the terrorists. Yeah.
That was the thing about it, isn't it? That's the absurdity of it, is you take something that's very familiar, a very well-worn format, and you put it in this context that is just absolutely
it's incredible.
Mel's just sent in a text from South Yarra saying, it's great to have a sense of humour even with a controversial topic. Isn't that why our humour is unique and irreverent? Nazim, you're in the business of making people laugh. Would you say that's true of Australian humour?
Look, the first few years of any small business tend not to be pretty profitable. But, I think comedy, different people approach comedy in different ways. You and I were both involved in a comedy show, which is, talking about Islam and Muslims in Australia. And, with stand-up comedy anyway, it's a good way to talk about some things that don't tend to be discussed in a way that perhaps I would appreciate.
Are there places you can't go?
I think you sort of got to... I would never say anything sexist or racist or homophobic or...
Not even for a laugh?
If I'm real... No, I don't think you can. And that's the difficulty in comedy, but I think it's also, you can make fun of those sorts of issues. And it's difficult, when you're talking about racism, people get quite passionate about it. It's not an easy topic to talk about.
I was privileged enough to hear one of Nazim's early stand-up shows.
Sorry, did you say privileged?
Yes, she definitely said privileged.
And it was
I'm questioning your judgment
I felt
already.
When I said, but it was quite, I remember it being quite full on. It doesn't seem like you held back too much.
I was probably amongst friends, to be honest. But
I think you were amongst a group of
five friends.
No, it was quite a lot of people.
But hang on, so why is it okay to do comedy on terrorism, which is something that has affected a lot of people's lives, either directly or indirectly, but in a really profound way. Why is it okay to make light of that and be funny about that, but it's not okay to do it around, say, sexism?
Well, I think, again, it's not about... The points about terrorism that people can joke about, you've got to be quite selective. You can't simply discount the very real kind of experiences of people who have been affected by terrorism. But you can make jokes about the absurd... some of the absurd things people say about terrorism or, the marginalisation of certain communities or the hysteria or the way the media would often report on certain issues.
Stereotypes.
You can really pick apart certain issues, but, there are some places you just can't go.
Where can't you go?
So,
Go there now.
I think it also depends where it is.
Yeah, it's context.
Like we sent the film to a distributor in New York, and they were highly offended with the film.
Because of September 11th.
Because of September 11th. So it affects different people very differently.
And I think it's all about where the joke is and in what context. If you're sort of saying a seemingly offensive joke in the context of a show which seems to portray a very positive message, then I think people are going to be accepting of that particular joke. But if it's sort of said just in a random variety show, it's not going to make much sense. People will probably walk.
So, as in people hook into the intent.
So
if you say something, it's kind of like I can insult my mother, but you better not insult my mother.
Exactly. Or like black people can make jokes about black people, but if a white person makes jokes about, it's the same thing.
Why can black people make jokes about white people?
You see, it's a scale. If you the less influence and privilege you have in a society, the more So if you're higher up in the social ladder, you can make fun of people only above you.
Oh, right, okay.
So if you're white, middle, you've basically got...
You're at the top of the
social ladder. You can make fun of
yourself. So women can make fun of men.
Yeah.
Because men have a level of privilege.
Absolutely.
So women don't, but men can't make fun of women. That's just bashing. That's just bullying.
Oh, that's sexism.
Right. So there's no such thing as reverse racism or reverse sexism.
There's no such thing as reverse racism or reverse... No, there's not, I don't think.
Wow!
There we go. Ready,
so I won't say anything that's racist, as Nazim Hussain, unless it's reverse racism, in which case it's perfectly okay.
No, look, you're basically going to try and undermine the purpose of Fear of a Brown Planet. We profit on this. No. Look, I think it makes perfect sense if... you know, comedy's a way to be able to speak about... about the power or mainstream ideas.
Yeah, you take something like MASH. Mm. You know, it's about the Vietnam War, and it's, you know, 58,000 Americans died in the war, but they made...
Yeah, they picked a particular a perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Mel Brooks was very strong on that. I mean, I saw Mel Brooks being interviewed. It may have even been by Andrew Denton or someone. Mm. And he said, there is nowhere that you can't go with comedy. And I think he was referring specifically to the Holocaust. Mm. Saying that it's perfectly fine. I mean, you know, Hogan's Heroes, whatever. Do you reckon that's true, Dee?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, one of the things comedy does, it allows society to karmically deal with things.
Mm.
And if you forbid that, then you actually, society doesn't deal with it. Mm. And I don't think we've dealt with, you know, a whole range of topics. So the more that comedy brings that out, the more society can look into itself and understand
absolutely.
What it's about.
I'd agree. I'd say Mel Brooks is probably right. There's no place a comedy can't go, but it's about who's saying it.
And how they go there.
And the intent. You know, like...
it's the intent, I think, is...
Yeah, it's
the
definitely...
The intent's a big thing.
Yeah, and, you know, like, when American stand-up comedian Azhar Usman... He's a guy from a comedy trio called Allah Made Me Funny. So he would often speak about, you know, the jesters, a court jester back in the day of monarchs. He would be the only person that would be able to make fun of the king. And it sort of kept society in check because he would be able to say the things that nobody else could without getting their heads chopped off. And I think that's the role that we play. Waleed probably isn't in that position.
You're the real hero, Nazim.
I didn't want to say it. So I didn't.
Sure. 6 minutes to the top of the clock. You're on RN Drive. This is The Drawing Room. I'm joined by Dee McLaughlin and Nazim Hussain. He's the latter voice that you heard there. Dee is the writer and director of a film called 10 Terrorists, which is premiering at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival on March 29. Dee, I want to ask you about this film because one of the things that was really observable was how clearly you steered away from terrorist stereotypes, at least ones that are familiar to Western audiences. I mean, there aren't many Muslim terrorists that appear or wannabe terrorists that appear. There are a handful, but not many.
And the one stereotype gets kicked off the show
for being
boring.
Too stereotypical.
Exactly.
Which I thought was quite a clever device, actually, to try to do it in that way. But why did you do that? Did you do that for entertainment value or from a political point or because you didn't want to be offensive or what was it?
No, because I suppose, firstly, when I was growing up in South Africa, when I was at school, we heard the word terrorist a lot and we heard the word Nelson Mandela is a terrorist.
Mm.
And then fortunately, I grew up with very kind of open parents. So, but, you know, when I grew up, I was privileged enough to meet him, and you realize he was the ultimate Gandhi of Africa. And so one of the things was to actually, the word itself is, you know, I think terrorism has been, it's divided the globe. And I think it's almost like a fraudulent division.
Mm.
So,
what do you mean by that?
There are a huge number of terrorist groups, and a lot of them aren't from the Arab world.
Mm.
And you know, terrorism. If you go terrorism is created by people causing terror, and wars and massacres, you know, people going and massacre, you know, in the early days, massacring the native populations, and they were all being terrorized, you know, but they called that crimes against humanity as opposed to terrorism. So I think there's a real media spin around the word that I think is...
But is that what you wanted to convey with the way you cast it, or...
No.
Would it just have been less entertaining if they were all
predictable? I think the main goal of this is just, you know, is to entertain.
But at the same time...
The main goal is entertain. And then, you know, and then you have these... It's a film that's got lots of layers, so...
Mm. But you really kind of humanise the terrorist experience in a way. Like, you, especially for a couple of characters, you really got into their backstory and their motivations, like that Indian girl, that character Kat, I think it was.
Yeah.
Like, she often spoke about, you know, wanting to do this for the children around the world.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
you know, you're sort of, you're warm to these characters, and then you realise,
well,
hey, that's
the interesting point. I think the film goes through, you start off, okay, they all in this reality show, and then when you get to the armed apprentice, you realise, oh my God, this is... He's part of society that we live in. He's wanting to make billions of dollars out of weapons and war and killing. You know, he's you know, war is business for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, the others are you know, they're all seeking.
They're very human.
And on maybe sometimes an honourable position.
The text that just come in regarding our conversation about where you can and can't go with comedy just says there must be wit, otherwise it's verbal crap. I'm glad that tickled your fancy.
Awesome text.
Well, can you get away with more if it's good?
Of course. If people are laughing, they can't argue that the joke wasn't funny. They can argue that it's offensive. If it's not funny and offensive, well, then it's not. Well, what is it? You've just said.
So have you ever laughed at a racist joke?
Yeah, you know, dad jokes mostly are sexist or homophobic or racist, and you laugh at them, and then you're like, oh, you can't say that, you know.
But by your reasoning, the fact that you laugh means
you can't say it publicly because that's not right. But look, I'm sure people make these jokes in their heads and then correct themselves. That's the way one's brain works.
Hey, I should point out, next on RN, I mean, it's a big day in the US, Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
It is Super Tuesday. It's Tuesday with a cape, Nazim. This is the Republican Party members in 10 states will get to cast their ballots for the presidential nomination. Fran Kelly's going to kick off coverage tomorrow on RN Breakfast from 6. I'll bring you updates on the results as they come in on RN Drive, and we'll do it very, very well here on RN Drive because we'll have the results by the time we got in there, so that'd be great. Coming up next on RN, Big Ideas with Paul Barclay. On the program, what can religion offer to the non-believer? Can it provide instruction on how to live a better life, be a better person, help create community, better appreciate art, be kinder, and get more out of travel? Well, Alain de Botton thinks so, and he talks about his new book, Religion for Atheists, on Big Ideas, coming up next on RN. That leaves us with roughly 5 seconds then, Dee, to wrap up with you and Nazim. You're launching this, obviously, at the Melbourne Comedy Festival on March 29. What are you hoping to achieve with it?
We're just hoping to achieve to entertain people, and it's the start of the global launch. It's on every Friday night at 9 p.m. at the Greater Union, and
will you go elsewhere around Australia?
Yeah, after that we hopefully get some traction, and it's going to go around Australia hopefully, and it's going to a festival in Buffalo, and then hopefully to the UK.
All right, just Buffalo, just stay out of New York.
That's just an immediate festival.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Steer clear into New York, D. You told me that.
Yeah.
Dee McLaughlin, writer-director of the film 10 Terrorists, premiering at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival March 29. Nazim Hussain.
That's right.
Of a brown planet.
Right.
Been my guest on The Drawing Room. It's been fabulous. That's been RN Drive. I think it's also been fabulous. I'll see you tomorrow.